Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, professor of transformational leadership and coaching at the Wright Graduate University for the realization of human potential. We specialize in bringing out your best and helping you to energize all aspects of your life. And today, we're going to talk about why you should not perfect your elevator pitch. In the last 20 years, last 15 years, it's become a big deal that you develop your elevator pitch and your bumper sticker. And those are good things to do so that you have a sense of who you are and what you're about. And when I say that we're about bringing out your best, that's one of the things that we say when we talk about energizing your life. But the real big idea that we want to talk about today is that what's more important than your elevator pitch, and that's fine, get it if you want, is your emotional intelligence, your social emotional intelligence, because one size doesn't fit all. Nowadays, people are skeptical of pat lines. People want to know that they exist as an individual. So if you have your social-emotional intelligence working, your emotional quotient is working, your EQ, then you're going to be in rapport with people. And for starters, being interested in who they are is more important than telling them who you are. First and foremost, that is part of the game, is your capacity to read others, to sense your rapport with others. And this emotional awareness, is in intelligence, is essential. Your social intelligence is your capacity to touch others. With emotional intelligence, we talk about the ability to upregulate, downregulate, to know whether you're afraid or you're hurt or you're angry or you're sad or you're joyous. And to be able to get more upregulated, we call it, and engaged, or to downregulate so that you have room to listen and to be interested in others. So this is what's really, really important. We had a guy that came in to work with us a number of years ago, and he was an insurance salesman, and he couldn't break $30,000 a year, and he'd been in the field for 3 years. Well, he started selling people right away. And we talked to him about taking it easy, slowing down, finding out who the person is to whom you're selling so that they feel like you know who they are and you know what they need. Get them to give you information first. Establish high-quality rapport. And he got better and better and better at this, to the point where today he hasn't made under $1 million take-home in a long time. We had another guy who was a top international marketing expert. He had great products and services, but he'd start selling too soon. So we had to start out and say, you have to get answers to 5 questions before you can pitch and sell anything. You have to find out what is really challenging to them, what they see as their 4 biggest concerns. Then you have an idea of who they are and what they're up against. So that's really central, is that you be interested in other people. They'll find out who you are. You'll be able to say it when they're interested in who you are, and you'll be saying it in rapport, using your emotional intelligence, using your social intelligence. So instead of pitching others with the same pitch over and over again, develop that emotional, social intelligence and have personal, fulfilling, warm relationships. So, thank you for joining us today. And we're going to move on to our first caller, Robin. She says, what's the best way to fully engage with someone when I meet them so I leave a lasting and positive impression? Great question, Robin. Talk to me about it.
Well, and I think that you answered a lot of it by saying to be interested in them. But now that brings up another question for me, and that is that I'm an energizer, so I don't really typically have a problem talking to other people except like the type A personalities that have no real interest in humor. I have no idea how to connect with those people. I wouldn't even know what to ask them about themselves. How do you gauge that different personality type?
Well, and so we call those regulators, the more dominant ones, and they tend to have a sense of purpose and direction, and they're operating on goals. So the real thing to catch with them is, what is it they care about? What do they see that they're engaged in their lives? And what do they see as the challenges they're facing to do that? And they don't care as much about excitement and energy and relationship as you do, so yes, you're going to have a little bit of a challenge with them.
So how would you, I mean, I don't even know how I'd go about it. I've tried with people like that humor, and of course that doesn't work, and so then I just kind of shy away. I mean, hi, it's nice to meet you, I'm Robin. Where do you go from there?
Well, for starters, understand that you're probably running into bigger challenges with what we call the analyzers, because regulators tend to speak more, analyzers tend to speak less. Let's have a little empathy for analyzers and understand that for them, the fear of making mistakes and being rejected is huge. So they're not going to flow into communication with you because you represent a risk. So give them more space to think and feel and get in touch with what they're thinking, and give them space, and you're going to have to deal with your anxiety instead of your anxiety driving you to talk and try to connect. You kind of sit there like a cat on a hot tin roof, and you let yourself fry as they share and emerge, because they're going to think more. They're going to actually analyze more. They're going to edit themselves a great deal more before they talk. That's hard for you to understand, isn't it?
It is, because I have no filter.
Well, consider them as having maximum filter, and that you represent a dangerous quantity to them, because you look out of control and like you don't even care about mistakes.
So to make them feel safe, I have to let them know that they don't necessarily have to engage with me. I need to just say hello and let them know that if they want to talk, I'm here.
Well, be interested and be willing to allow space the other side of the conversation. I was talking with someone yesterday who has been a very big help to us in one of the training situations that we do. And I know that she respects us, and I know she's a thoughtful person. And I said some pretty challenging things to her. And there were times that I would say we waited somewhere between 15 and 30 seconds for her to digest what I'd said. And so I just sat back and waited until she talked again. And when she did, boy, was it cool. Because she had really digested what I'd said. She had really thought about it. And what came out of her mouth was so interesting and so meaningful that it was well worth the wait.
Okay, I think I get it.
It's almost like you have to imagine that they're operating in a different time zone than you are.
Like the delay on the phone.
Yes. Yes, only bigger.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go find somebody like that at work today, and I'm going to test this.
Okay. Well, let me know how it goes, Robin. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. That's just great. Our second caller is Jessica. She says, how do I sell an idea without coming across as pushy? How do I be supportive and effective and not seem like I'm trying to override? Oh, what a great question. Talk to me, Jessica.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Oh, wow. I was thinking it was somebody else. This is Jessica. So I tend to be an energizer and have a lot of goals, and so I'm working with an individual that is ultimately an analyzer, and I noticed he's curating the art at the place where I work, and he does a lot of the finances, and he has a hand in a lot of things going on, but I don't really know exactly what he's up against. So I was kind of wondering how I can go about understanding what he needs help on and what I can do to serve him better. But it's like, for me, I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this. I have all these ideas and thinking, like, for example, he doesn't like having the art rotate every 2 months. He likes it rotating four, and I don't think that is conducive to the business. I feel like it should be rotating more frequently.
Well, first of all, you have something you want. And if you want to get into good rapport with him, chances are that you need to understand his reasoning for the 4 months. If he is an analyzer, then he is a low-risk guy, and he would consider that changing things is always a risk. And keeping things the way they are, it seems more comfortable. So he'll have all kinds of thoughts about that. The more you seek to understand his reasoning, the better.
Got it. So, okay, yeah, that makes sense, like low risk, less change. That makes a lot of sense now to that. I guess, like, another thing is, like, a big thing for me is that currently I have my art up, and it had a really big push, and I sold a lot of artwork, and they are like, they've never done that before. They've never had somebody sell as much work as I had. So that's another thing that they're looking at. So I don't know how to necessarily, like, maybe put that in the run without being pushy with it. And, like, getting great artists in that aren't necessarily his friends, that seems scary to him as well. Because he wants to put all of his friends up in there and look like the good guy, and yet some of the times, like, the people who work there don't like the art, and then the customers aren't as interested. And so, to me, I think that's a huge, huge deal as well.
Well, there's a concept that we call socializing an issue. So it sounds to me like no one has really ever questioned this policy before. So you're actually saying two things: frequency of rotation and selection of people that exhibit.
Yeah.
And so he's got this as his domain. And so what we're really dealing with is that he hasn't learned to include the entire organization in this adventure. And there hasn't really been an invitation to the entire staff to participate in the selection of artists, in the rotation of artists, and also the sale of art so that the company can make a percentage as an agent in that, I assume.
Yeah, I don't think they even realized that art could be sold there until I started working and was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing really well. This is going on. And then I think I've perked a lot of ears. I've perked the owner's ears a little bit more and have been playing a lot with that. And so I've heard some remarks of like, oh, maybe we should start like really considering this being a business and making money off of it. And then,
right.
you know,
right.
thinking along those lines that, yeah, it can be something, it's a great space.
And so one of the possibilities would be to promote an idea that we actually become a restaurant art gallery. So that we become a restaurant art gallery and that we actually have a separate showing every month and the staff participates in selecting the artists. So artists can apply to be one of our exhibitors for a month, or we might have two or three artists, but to actually also engage the organization as a promoter of art in the community.
Right.
Could be really cool to have all the staff vote for the various artists and promote various artists and have all the staff looking for artists who might be able to display and make it a community event. Now, this gentleman is likely going to have some control issues with that.
Yeah, I feel that for sure.
So this is where you may need to actually both talk to him and start floating your idea by him and then see how he responds and tell him you're planning on talking to other people about it too because you think it's so cool and you're so grateful that they displayed your art.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this doesn't sound like a selfish adventure this way. It sounds like something that's leading to a development that's positive for the organization.
Totally.
So I think asking questions about it is the way you get around being pushy and to be supportive of the community. See, if he isn't interested in what's the best interest of the community, then unfortunately you may need to work around him.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see how you progress with that one.
Yeah, totally. It sounds exciting.
Well,
I'll
look forward to hearing how you do. Thank you very much, Jessica.
Thanks, Bob.
And I'd like to thank all of you for joining us and Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. Today we're talking about relationship, rapport, being together with somebody, and having your conversations bringing out the best in you and others. Talking about, get your elevator pitch down, get your bumper sticker down. It helps us deal with our insecurity. But then develop the emotional intelligence and the social intelligence to be in touch with others. We'd love to have you join us next week in our live podcast on relationships, how to show your appreciation, and how to craft the best contingency plan. Contingency plan, boy, that's going to be a fun one. It comes off of a thing called the implementation intention. I so look forward to working on that with you. I hope that we're going to be joined by my lovely bride, Dr. Judith Ellen Sewell, right on this one. So until next week, thank you very much, and bring out your best.